Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Con Tran, who is the CEO and co-founder of RippleShot. Con, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Karen. Glad to be here.
So just a little context for everyone listening. RippleShot is a data breach detection and fraud analytics business. Interesting space to be in right now, since unfortunately there's a lot of that stuff swirling around. How I'd like to start the conversation is this. I looked at your website, and you say that you are able to reduce fraud, 25% of fraud losses for banks and merchants, by stopping fraud sooner. How do you do that?
Sure. Thanks, Karen. What we do is we monitor card transactions across the payment system. And in addition to that, we monitor consumer purchase behavior and also merchant transaction behavior. And we monitor their travel of the credit card from merchant to merchant, what we call peer-to-peer relationships. So now, if there's a data breach at Target or Home Depot, the fraud does not occur at Target or Home Depot. It occurs across the payment system. Be a $1,000 purchase at a Walmart in Seattle. It would be a flat-screen TV purchase in a Best Buy in Miami. It'll be a $500 gift card purchase at Macy's in Vegas. We see those transactions that are fraudulent, and what we can quickly do is determine where do all those cards have in one place in common at one point in time. That's how we do it.
So how do you know that the transactions in San Francisco, Vegas, and Austin, Texas are fraudulent? How do you know that?
Sure, you're correct. That is our trigger point. And there are several ways of knowing that. One, through the issuing banks, we would get a report that said that's a verified fraud. So we would have called you, Karen, and asked you, is that flat-screen TV from Best Buy, was that your purchase? You'd say no. That becomes a verified fraud transaction. We also have disputed charge, where you get something on your cell phone that says, you know, hey, these are $500 gift card in Macy's, was that you? And you reply, no, that's not me. That's disputed, hasn't been verified yet. But the difference is that disputed comes much quicker than verified fraud. And the third way we know is we employ our own algorithms as we monitor all the transactions across the system. And in real time, we're able to take a analytics to say, you know, that transaction in Miami is not Karen. So those are all the ways that we detect fraud.
So you actually triangulate a bunch of different inputs, and you can detect the picture before it becomes this enormous, big disaster.
That's exactly right. So a lot of times you have data breaches that spread like virus across the United States if it's one chain, right?
Yeah.
It can go through a malware, it can go through certain point-of-sale terminals, and we see that early on so that we can stop it before it becomes a catastrophic event.
Can you give us some examples of things that your detection platform has uncovered and stopped dead in its tracks, obviously without disclosing names or any identifiable information?
Sure. I can give you four different examples on four different data breaches. And what our solution does is actually data breach agnostic in the sense of a target, it came through the ventilation system. And that's that the virus came through the air conditioning system and made its way into the point of sale terminal. We were able to detect 2 weeks before it's publicly known that Target had a breach. Okay. Now, for a chain of restaurants across the United States, what we're able to do is detect that it's not a chain-wide restaurant breach, but it's actually one restaurant in Chicago because the bartender is skimming the cards. Okay. For a gas station chain, it's not a gas station chain breach, but what happened is actually not even a gas station breach. It's actually a pump terminal ID breach. And we're able to detect down to the terminal ID one particular pump where there is a skimmer inside of that payment system for 3 weeks, and it was collecting credit card information. So there's various ways that we can detect data breaches.
Wow. So I'm really afraid now to go to my local restaurant and open a tab, get gas, and the Target situation is a little is on my jaw dropped. You knew about the Target breach before they did?
Before it was publicly known, yes.
Really? So how?
Sure. So what happened, and by the way, we're working with companies like MasterCard and with other credit card issuing banks. And since we see those credit card transactions, imagine you and your whole team go to a restaurant and there's some bad chicken at that restaurant. Now, everybody comes out of the restaurant. Some people fly to New York. Some people fly to L.A. Some people stay in Boston. But everybody gets sick, right? And then we can quickly determine, because we would have the doctor's report the symptoms, say that that restaurant is the one that's been breached. And that comes faster than anything out there, because we get that information in real time faster than how people are aggregating that information now.
Wow. That's impressive. So you say that you are reach agnostic. So it doesn't matter to you how fraudsters perpetrate their craft. You can detect it. Tell us a little bit about some of the trends that you're seeing. You must see an awful lot.
Sure. And by the way, personally, being in the business, I think that's fascinating. For example, there's a big bookstore chain nationwide. Their breach came from a malware or a skimmer already installed in the point-of-sale terminals, factory installed from China, right?
Wow.
So there's several ways that a breach can occur. You know, it could be a simple password. It could be human error. It could be a Wi-Fi. In case of TJ Maxx, it could be hardware. It could be all kinds of things. But we determine it at the credit card transaction level, right? So whenever it's transactions, doesn't matter whether it's Apple Pay, it goes through a point-of-sale terminal, it goes through the Wi-Fi, we track that. So that's why we're device agnostic. But the trends we see, Karen, are actually the thieves are getting smarter, right? So in the past, there's something called geofencing, where they've stolen information, and they know that credit card companies are looking at the spend, and anything outside of a 200-mile radius of that merchant or that credit card location is going to be spotted, right? That's one. The other trend from a fraudster perspective is the average duration of a breach is about 8 months, okay? And that's becoming longer because the thieves get in and they stay dormant for longer to harvest more information so they're not detected. So those are two of the fraudulent data breach trends that we're seeing. A better response to geofencing and also being dormant longer.
Wow. So you are helping merchants and banks, obviously, identify the perpetrators before it gets bad. What can be done? I mean, is there anything that can be done to kind of shut it down altogether? Or do these guys just sort of hop around, always looking for the next thing to try because they only have to be right once and, you know, we have to be vigilant all the time?
That's right. So the odds are in their favors, right? Like you said, we have to repel these attacks thousands of times a day. They only have to get through once. And when they do, the results can be catastrophic, right? So from a bank and a merchant perspective, there are a lot of, as you know, technologies out there that try to prevent it. And there's a place for that, right? I mean, you could argue how successful they've been by preventing it, but, you know, there's a place for that. There's also a place for detection, which is what we do. Mm-hmm. Because what we believe is that, you know, with EMV fraud, it's like a balloon. You're going to squeeze it in one area, and it's going to pop up somewhere else. It's going to pop up online. It's going to pop up on prepaid cards. It's going to pop up on gas stations that don't have to be EMV compliant until 2017. So fraud's not going to, you know, since the dawn of time, fraud's always going to be there. Even the EMV chip can be hacked, right? So we just believe that the fraudsters are going to continually evolve their game, and it's sort of an arms race.
So, Con, how did you develop the idea?
So my previous position was providing real-time credit card fraud to one of the top four major issuers as one of my clients in and around Chicago. And so we, very good technology, very good analytics, and we competed against the big boys like Strategic Falcon and SAS. We had better metrics. But the reality is that they came to us and asked us if there's anything we can do with data breaches, because the trend 5 years ago was that it was over 50% of all the fraud losses that banks were taking were directly related to data breaches. And for some, now it's up to 80%.
Wow.
But the real sweet spot for us, Karen, are not the big six banks. It's 11 to 12,000 regional banks, community banks, and credit unions that don't have these type of sophisticated analytics. And we're able to deliver it over the cloud, which is not something we're able to deliver 5 years ago. So we're able to reach a market that desperately needs this type of solution, and we can do that through a cloud-based system.
So I was going to ask you, who buys your solution, and how do they buy it?
Sure. On the bank side, it's mostly regional banks, community banks, and credit unions, and they buy it on a three-year license. And our value proposition to them is that they will save on a yearly basis 25-40% of their fraud losses. We're saying 25, but right now for some banks, we're seeing 40% fraud mitigation. Right? Wow. And if they're installing our system cloud-based, and based on their data, we give them decision rules that are able to mitigate the fall off, but importantly, at a false positive ratio that is acceptable to them.
Wow.
And on the merchant side, we're providing sort of like ADT alarm system, right? Mm-hmm. We're monitoring every single point of sale terminal across the United States right now, both bricks and mortars and online, every single merchant out there. And we color code every point of sale terminal. Every terminal ID is going from green, yellow, orange to red, depending on whether we believe there's a breach or not. And that we sell in a SaaS model on a monthly alarm monitoring business through processors.
What an interesting business and an impressive story. Tom, thanks very much for sharing it with us today. I can't wait to talk to you again when you have more interesting stories to tell about some of the incidences of detecting fraud and finding breaches that you've been able to cut off at the pass. Really interesting. Thank you.
Karen, thank you very much for your time, and I really appreciate you being able to tell our stories to your subscribers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.